Those words we just sang are a fitting prayer for these days, aren't they? Holy Mother, life-bestowing, bid our waste and warfare cease. Fill us all with grace o'erflowing. Teach us how to live in peace. Because our world seems so broken these days, doesn't it? So much hurt and division, so much bad news, it seems, wherever you look, including the synagogue shooting in California yesterday and those church bombings a week ago in Sri Lanka. We are living in difficult and trying and anxious times. And it's not just out there, right? It's also in here. We carry this around with us. And so if we want to be bringers of peace to our world, then we need to know how to find peace in our own hearts. These days, it's important and necessary and essential, I believe, to trust and have faith that this brokenness is not the whole story. That there is good in the world in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. That there is reason for hope. That wholeness is possible and is what we are made for. This is why I need Easter. Because of its assertion that even in the face of suffering and death, life and goodness will prevail. I'm in this clergy study group. Study is a little bit of a misnomer. We actually don't study very much, but we get together two times a year for a couple days to talk, and we read a couple things ahead of time. But anyway, last Monday, I got an email from our organizer that said, "Hi, friends, Easter is over. Time to think about our upcoming gathering." And I almost wrote back, "It's not over." I think of a line of John Belushi's, "It's not over till we say it's over," but I'm not going to go there. But I want to say, it's not over. Easter is just beginning. Do you know what I'm talking about? Although Easter is a day, it's actually at least two different days. In the Eastern Orthodox traditions, today is Easter. But Easter is also a season that in the Western Church began last Sunday and continues for 50 days until Pentecost. One of the things that I love and appreciate about the Christian tradition is the seasons of the church year and how they overlap. I think we're fortunate here on this side of the earth that they overlap with the seasons of the natural year. Advent in the darkening days of December, Lent in the slowly increasing light of March, Easter just as spring is finally arriving. One of the primary ways I practice my faith is by living into these seasons of light and shadow that feeds my soul and helps me to stay grounded. The invitation is to be present where you are, which seems particularly necessary these days, to be present in the times of struggle and in the times of joy. As the farmer and writer Wendell Berry puts it, "At night, make me one with the darkness. In the morning, make me one with the light." Last Sunday here, you all sang, "O Day of Light and Gladness." We sang that in Haverhill too. But it's not just a day, right? We have this whole season before us for light and gladness as the earth is waking up around us, turning green, so much in bud, as Denise Levertov wrote. And we have this invitation that Easter offers us, to see that though there is pain and loss, suffering and death, that is not the whole story. This is my faith, and it is an Easter faith that we are part of a great love that will never let us go, that this love is stronger even than death. And this is our universalist faith, that in the end, love wins. And this faith has real life implications and consequences. You remember those protests almost 2 years ago now in Richmond, Virginia, right? That started because of some Civil War statues and ended with one person, Heather Heyer, being killed when a white supremacist drove a car into a crowd. There were lots of people of faith there in Richmond, some of them people I know, facing down those neo-Nazis and white supremacists. They also said afterwards they were afraid for their own lives because they knew that others that were facing them were armed, and the police had retreated. They were nowhere to be seen. But still, those people stood there. They linked arms. They formed a line. They stood side to side, and they chanted, "Love has already won." They said that over and over again. They proclaimed this positive theological statement, and they put their bodies on the line because of it. Love has already won. Years ago, I did my internship at a church west of Boston. And when I had the chance to lead the Easter sunrise service, I jumped at it. Who knew when I would get that chance again? So on Easter Sunday early, we gathered on a small hill across from the church. It had been a long winter that year, and there was still snow in the corners of the field in the shady spots. And that morning, the ground was frosty and cold, but when the sun came up over the trees, it shone on our faces, and almost without thinking, we turned toward that light. Isn't that a symbol for Easter? This invitation to turn toward the light. Not to deny the dark and the cold, but still to orient ourselves toward life and love and wings, as E.E. Cummings put it. This doesn't mean we won't face hardship or pain or suffering. We will. You know that. And I think you probably also know that the only way out of these trials is through, by facing them and engaging with them and working your way through them. Back when I was training for the ministry, I spent a summer in hospital chaplaincy. I was worried about how all the suffering there might unearth my own buried grief. And one day early on, I confessed this to the supervisors and peers there. I said, "I have this fear that I could start crying and never stop." And one of them, one of our supervisors, this wise Catholic woman, she took this seriously. She said, "Yes, you will experience plenty of pain and sorrow on this path. But I promise you will have companions on the way." Think about your own life. Isn't this true? That sometimes in the hardest times, that's when companions and guides appear. That this is one of the best reasons to be part of a faith community like this one. So you do have companions, people who are with you in the joy and in the sorrow. People who support you and, when necessary, will hold you accountable. Years ago, you did this for me. And I am ever grateful for how this church stirred up something in me. It was not my plan to go out into the ministry, but there is where I ended up. I'm grateful for how you helped me to be a person of faith, how you helped form me as a person of faith. You are a good and vibrant congregation. I hope you know this about yourself. And you are needed in this community. You have a lot of good and talented leaders here. I hope you know that you have this human capital here that not every congregation has. And something else, you know how to navigate your way through this time between settled ministers. You've done it before, and you do it well. And not every congregation can say that. So I hope you're seeing this in-between time as a time of possibility and of hope, a time of potential, a time for you to shine. And this is my message for you today, really, that we are in this season that asks us, despite all the dispiriting evidence to the contrary, to look for signs of life and reasons for hope. In a Good Friday world, the invitation is to be Easter people, to see these signs of new life, to seek these signs of new life, because if you seek them, you will find them. Because they are all around, just like these companions we have been given. Look around. You see people who know at least part of your story. Isn't it good that you have one another? And you know, it's not good to go through life either believing on one hand that you have been abandoned, or on the other, that you are entirely self-sufficient, right? Your great mistake, the poet writes, is to act the drama as if you were alone. Surely even you at times have felt the grand array, the swelling presence, and the chorus crowding out your solo voice. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. The kettle is singing even as it pours you a drink. The cooking pots have left their arrogant aloofness and seen the good in you at last. All the birds and creatures of the world are unutterably themselves. Everything is waiting for you. Could it be that the struggles of our time are just the birth pangs of a new season of greater freedom and justice for more people? That our current struggles and troubles are the last gasps of an order, an old order whose days are numbered? That voices which for far too long have been ignored and pushed to the margins are finally coming to the fore? That we are in a time of possibility and potential. And yes, I'm not trying to gloss it over. These are hard and anxious times we're living in. And there's a danger here that we can take ourselves too seriously and become as brittle and reactionary as those we disagree with. So if you find yourself feeling anxious these days, or perhaps feeling self-righteous, step away from your computer, turn off cable news, and get outside, for goodness sake. It's spring. Put yourself in a place where you can feel the blessings of this good earth and be reminded that not everything is lost, that hope does abide. You don't have to go far. Do you know South Cemetery? I don't know the history, but in some way part of it belongs to this church. It's yours. It's a short walk from here, and it is a place that restores my soul. I commend it to you. The invitation these days is to embrace this season of possibility, to say yes to life. So to that end, I want to offer you this little poem by Kalyn Haught, which is called God Said, God Says Yes to Me. I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, it sure is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish, and she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes. She said, you can do just exactly what you want to. Thanks, God, I said. And is it okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. If you are someone who pushed God away because you have rightly given up on that old, white, angry, judgmental dude, then maybe it's time to reimagine the holy as one that is young and growing, maybe even sassy, one you can speak to plainly and hear back. What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. If you are wearied by the troubles of this life, try not to despair. Open your eyes and open your heart so that you can see that this season of Easter, this season of spring, this season that lies before us now is a season of possibility, a season of yes. Here we are with these lives that we have been given. Here we are with these companions. How can we keep from singing? Amen.